Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Pierre Chem, chef, restaurateur, and the author of the new cookbook, Senegal, Modern Senegalese Recipes from the Source to the Bowl. Raised in Dakar, Senegal, Pierre brings his extensive knowledge to this cookbook, and today he's here to share a bit of it with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know that we have great advertisers that support the show and keep it free for you. One of the reasons why advertisers love The Clever Cookster is that they know the show has amazing listeners. Right now, we have a survey that I'd love for you to take to help us learn more about our audience. Just go to podsurvey.com/clever. The survey will only take 5 minutes. We're just going to ask you some questions about yourself and what you like to buy, but it's completely anonymous. Your answers help us find advertisers that are well-matched to you, your interests, and the show. When you're finished, you can enter a monthly drawing to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Even if you've taken a podcast listener survey before, I'd like to ask you to take ours and help support the show. Don't forget that you have a chance to win that $100 gift card. Once again, that's podsurvey.com/clever. Thanks for helping us find the best advertisers out there so that we can keep the show free for you. So tell us first about your approach to Senegalese cuisine. What are some of the ingredients and techniques that you're really excited to introduce to American audiences?
Well, the first thing I'm excited to share is Senegalese cuisine is not as foreign as it may sound. You know, if you go to your local supermarket, you can find most of the ingredients and prepare Senegalese cuisine in your home. The other thing is it's not that unfamiliar because Senegalese cuisine, as most of West African cuisine, has influenced cuisine of Americas for centuries. You know, if you go to the southern part of America, you know, Louisiana, North and South Carolina, and even South America, Mexico, Brazil, you see all there has like touches of Senegalese cuisine or West African cuisine at large. So
what are some of those examples of things that we've absorbed into the food we know here?
Like okra, for instance, which is a very symbolic ingredient. That's the part of the south of Senegal where my family is from. I was born in Dakar, but my family is from the south of Senegal, and okra is an ingredient that you would see coming in many, many recipes. Black-eyed peas. A big one, rice. Rice, people don't realize that rice arrived in America from that part of Africa as well, and not from Asia, as most people tend to believe, but from slaves during the slave trade, the Middle Passage. Rice arrived through that Middle Passage to the Carolinas to become what you call the Carolina Gold, which is the big industry, the big part of the economy of the Carolinas, the rice from Africa.
When did you fall in love with food? What's your personal approach to cooking and what's your food philosophy?
Well, it came in steps. You know, growing up in Senegal, you have to fall in love with food because it's so much part of the fabric of our society. Food is part, it comes at every stage, you know, from birth, you know, the name birthing ceremonies is coming with elaborate food. All the way to death, you know, the funerals is also an occasion to celebrate around food. You know, we celebrate the dead, but there's, you know, hundreds of people come to funeral just mostly to mourn, of course, but the opportunity is to also share into, you know, these elaborate meals that would be coming up at the funeral, especially when it's an elder person who dies. So it's death is just another step of life. But in between birth and death, you have the initiations, you know, you have the weddings, you have the everyday life. Every day cooking is like part of it. So I fell in love with food from an early age. And coming up, I didn't think food would be an option as a career because I'm from a society where it's a gender-based activity, you know. Kitchen belongs to women in Senegal traditionally. Of course, it's changing now. So it wasn't an option. And I came to America with a student visa. I was a student in physics and chemistry. And I just stumbled into a restaurant that happened to be my first job, you know, and the restaurant as a busboy too, in the front of the house. I wasn't even in the kitchen at the time. But what triggered my attention was just what was happening, first of all, behind all the great plates that were coming from the kitchen. And most importantly, there were only men in that kitchen, you know, and that was, to me, a cultural shock. I had never seen men in the kitchen, but one man in Senegal, who was also a big part of my influence. This man was originally from Vietnam, but he happened to be my godfather. there's a community of Vietnamese that lives in Senegal for, you know, because of our same colonial past, and that's a long story, but they moved to Senegal after the French left Vietnam, and they moved to and they arrived in Senegal, and generations now, this man happened to be friends with my parents and became my godfather when I was born, and I would spend time with him in the summer, and he was the one cooking, the only man cooking in my childhood experience. So, you know, now I'm in New York and I see that in this restaurant kitchen only men were cooking. So that, you know, there was a natural magnet, great food, I loved food already, and men cooking. So the chef saw that interest and he invited me to come and join the team as a dishwasher. So I started from the bottom up. It was like in the late 80s, I became a dishwasher. From dishwasher, it was really rough. And then from there, I became a prep cook, salad cook, salad, garde-manger, grill, saucier, and up to sous chef. And 26, 7 years later, I'm still cooking. So
is the food that you cook also influenced by Vietnamese cuisine because of that early experience?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And not only because of that early experience, but everywhere in Senegal, the Vietnamese presence, we embrace their food. You know, there's not name-buzzing ceremony in Senegal without Vietnamese spring rolls. We think it's our cuisine now. It's just, and in street corners of Dakar too, you would see the Vietnamese presence. They like, the food is there. You know, there's an amazing chain of restaurants in Dakar that's called Saveur d'Asie. It's one of my favorite restaurants, but it's only Vietnamese cuisine. So yes, it influenced my cuisine. I like the flavors. You know, there's a lot of similarities actually with Senegal, believe it or not. We use a lot of fermentation in our cuisine, and Vietnamese use a lot of fermentation. As a matter of fact, when I came here, and it was difficult to access certain ingredients, but I would just go to the Asian market. You know, I would get fish sauce to substitute the fermented conch or the dried fish that we have in our Senegalese recipes. So that was a great trade-off.
I feel like a big part of your approach to food is that food is such a living, breathing cultural conversation, and it changes over time. And your new book is focused on modern Senegalese recipes. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the differences between this new cookbook and your last cookbook, Yolele?
The difference is exactly, you're right, food breathes and it evolves. And that's how it's been. You know, when you see the history of certain ingredients, how they were not present in a certain part of the world, but now they are present, and that influences the way of people eating. You know, Senegal or most of West Africa, we love to use peppers, for instance, and we think peppers are part of our cuisine. And peppers actually arrived through the Colombian exchange from the Americas to Africa, and now it's just part of it. You know, we even have this amazing soup called pepper soup that you'd see in everywhere in West Africa. So it vice versa. So to answer your question, the difference between this book and my first book, the first book was more about the tradition, the food that influenced my cooking, you know, and I introduced the reader to my family. I took them all the way to the village where my parents originally are from and showed how those women were cooking their food. And this book is meeting the source of that food, but taking it and presenting a modern take on that, on those ingredients, a modern take on those recipes. You know, it's making it a little lighter, a little airier, you know, and healthier, even though the ingredients were always healthy. You know, I just present it for the modern kitchen, and it's a different approach to it. And I think that's how food has always evolved. You know, I'm not inventing anything. It's just really just following that path.
What are some of the differences between cooking for a restaurant, as you've done, or a catering business, and developing recipes for a home cook? How do the meals shift to be, if they do at all, to be more accessible to a home cook in their kitchen?
Well, the home cook, I really don't distinguish both. You know, when I cook for the restaurant, obviously I have to be mindful of the economic of the restaurant. I have to be mindful of the plating, and those are just the details, you know, and the aesthetic. But I really, really think, you know, the home cook can aim to present his cuisine, to cook as the same as in the restaurant. And this is the way I present my books. I present the recipes in my book. Those recipes can be duplicated by any home cook or by any restaurant. So I don't.
What are some of your favorite cookbooks that have influenced and inspired you over the years?
Oh, wow, there are so many of them, and I'm sure that so many people would answer Julia Child, because that's to me, it was very helpful. When I first arrived to New York, again, I started from the bottom, so I was self-educated, and much of it was through Julia Child. You know, I was going to New York Library and opening her books, and I went from one page to another. There was a movie that was done around that story, and that was my story. I really learned a lot of it. Another one was the La Rousse Culinaire, which is a classic, because my mom had that collection. At first, when I was probably five, that's my really first early food memories. I talk about it in my first cookbook. And I have memories of just going through the pages of that book just because of the pictures, you know. I wasn't really looking for the recipes, but the pictures were just so appetizing, you know. And that's not that my mom would even prepare those dishes, you know. Some of them were much more elaborate for her. But I remember the pictures, and these are like things that stayed with me, you know. And as I recall my food experiences, that's the first one that comes out. So yeah, this is another cookbook, the La Rousse Culinaire. It comes back periodically, so it's not the same as I was reading back 40 years ago, but it's still, you know, it's still a book that I would mention if you asked me for my cookbook, my preference cookbook. I like ethnic cookbooks as well. I mean, modern ones I like, you know. I've enjoyed reading the Pok Pok cookbook. It's really beautiful. I love it. You know, I like Sean Brock cookbook. I like the fact that his new cookbook, you know, even though we have completely different approach, you know, I just like how he recognizes Africa in his influences. And I think that's brilliant. You know, there's so many great cookbooks out there. So I just, those are some I can name.
Well, we are really excited for your cookbook to come out, Senegal, Modern Senegalese Recipes from the Source to the Bowl. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Kara. It was a pleasure.
Tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.